Psalm 111 says, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." This is an incredible psalm commanding us and calling us to give thanks to the Lord. It starts out saying, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart." From the innermost being, with everything that we are to give thanks to the Lord. In the company of the upright, in the congregation. So the truth of this passage, the command of this passage, is for us to gather together the congregation. What does congregation mean? It means a gathering of people, a congregating of people. And so ancient Israel would gather together. And as they would gather together, sometimes a priest or a prophet, a priest would do the sacrificial duties, and a prophet would declare, proclaim the word of the Lord. And then the congregation would give testimony to God's goodness. It says, "In the company of the upright, those who have been justified by God, those who are upright in him, those who he has called his own." So as you gather together, give testimony in the company of the upright, in the great congregation. This is an ancient practice of the people of God to gather together and to witness to the goodness of God, to the glory of God, to the faithfulness of God. So as I thought and prayed through this Sunday, as we gather together as one service after doing two for the fall, and as I've reflected on this passage, I felt like God was saying, why don't you actually do that? I mean, this is the congregation. We are congregated together. We are the people of God, and we have people in our congregation who have testimony of God's faithfulness, God's goodness. And so this morning, I've invited a handful of people to come forward and to share testimony. So I'm going to call this group forward now. If I have talked to you, please come on forward, grab a chair. I need to rearrange the chairs because we made a last-minute adjustment. Ruth Nelson was going to be a part of our panel this morning, but she is under the weather today, so be praying for Ruth. She's doing fine, but she regretted to inform me last night that she's going to be unable to make it. So this is our panel for today. And we are going to have this group of people give testimony to the goodness of God. Thanks, Kendra. Should probably give you a microphone. All right, so here's what we are going to do. Oh, not the first question there yet. The first question for this panel, these are the people of God. These are members of our church who God has done an incredible work in your lives over the last couple of years, and I'm excited to hear you guys give testimony to God's faithfulness. So first thing that we're going to do is ask you your name and how long you've been connected to this church.
My name is on.
We should be on.
Are we still there? There we go. My name is Dave Alfors, and I came here when I was 2 years old, when my dad started pastoring this church. So I'm not going to tell you how long ago that was.
I've been connected with the church since I married Dave 36 years ago.
I'm Kendra Olson, and I've been coming to Park for about 3.5 years now.
I'm Emma Bloom, and I've been coming to Park for about a year now.
I'm Anna, and I've been here since, I don't know, a little into City Vision I joined, I guess.
I'm Matt Winkle. I was part of City Vision before the merge.
All right, so now we're going to reverse the microphone. So you're up first with the first deep question. So here's the question that I've asked them to engage with. What significant life change or challenge have you experienced in the past year or two?
Whoa. So this is my wife. We got married 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Praise God for that. We also bought a house a month later. So our lives have been quite drastically changed from both of us are in our 30s, living a single life, and then getting married. It's a huge change. It's good, but it is drastically different from where I was a year ago or even 6 months ago.
Same?
Same.
Okay. The two become one. That's what the scriptures tell us, right?
So I would say the biggest change for me was I graduated from college last December and moved up to Minnesota from Georgia in January, which is a very huge life change for me. I'd never seen more than 3 inches of snow before in my life. So starting a new job, moving really far away from home, that was my really big change.
And Emma, can I ask you, why did you move here from Georgia?
I interned at a really great company, and they offered me a job, and they suckered me into moving here in January.
Great. There you go.
I have had a lot of big life changes, kind of similar to both of these stories, I guess. In May of this year, I got married, and then, thank you, and then also moved at that time, because that's what happens when you get married. And then I also graduated with my master's in school counseling 2 weeks later. Spent all summer looking for a school counseling job, applied to 30 plus positions. Got a job the day before school started as a long-term sub this fall. And now, as you guys know, that ended in the beginning of November, and I'm now on staff full-time here as the Family Ministries Director. So lots of big career changes that I was not expecting in the past 6 months.
I've spent most of my life in Africa. My parents were missionaries there, so that's where I grew up. So actually, every time we come back to the States for furlough is an adjustment for me.
I guess for me, coming back, of course, to the States is always a little bit of adjustment. But situation right now is we're getting closer to retirement. So that kind of looms in the back of my mind constantly of, you know, all the things you have to maneuver and manipulate in order to get to that point. And again, of course, the future, what happens after retirement? What does God want us to do at that time? I know we don't retire in his plan, but yeah, that's a big change.
So follow-up question to that, how have you witnessed or experienced God's faithfulness in the last year or two of experiencing change? And you guys are in the midst of it right now.
God, I mean, we've experienced God's goodness all throughout our life in just so many, so many ways. He's always there. He's always faithful. Doesn't mean it isn't tough, it isn't difficult, but we always see him come through, and it's just, I guess that's just what I'm hanging on to, that he's going to get us through whatever it may be. That future that's out there that we're wondering, you know, what are we going to do once we retire type of a thing. Not terribly worried about it. There's plenty to do. Got a lot of good, godly, older people, example of how they've been able to minister well into their later years. So I know he'll be faithful again. I don't have anything specific, just I know he will because he has been in the past. Amen.
It's been good to reconnect back here in the States, and we're thrilled with what God's doing here at Park Community. One of the things that's been helpful to us has been to be part of a community group and to feel like we get connected a bit because the year that we're here, we do a lot of traveling, sharing what God's doing in churches all around. So it's been good to be connected with a small group.
I made a list, so I stay on task. I'm a journaler, and so when Andrew asked me to kind of think through this and asked if I would talk about how I've seen God's faithfulness, I was kind of going back through my journals over the last 6 months in particular. And there was a reoccurring theme for me that I realized that I didn't realize at the time, but it was, in probably over 50% of my journal entries, it was me asking, saying that, like, Lord, I believe you, but forgive my unbelief. And it was a constant idea of just this unbelief in my heart during this kind of last 6 months of big career changes and graduating with what I thought I would do and really wanting that and really believing that God put that desire to be a school counselor in my heart, but also really loving what I was doing here. And I actually looked back and in late May, I must have read Psalm 111, which we read this morning, because I had it written in my journal, and I wrote, "Great are your works, O Lord, glorious and majestic are your deeds. Father, forgive me for being blind, for your faithfulness endures forever. Jesus, I am exhausted and have nothing left inside me, and I pray that you would fill me with your power and your love. I pray that my spirit would be renewed with your grace." And so I think that was like a constant theme over the last 3 months for me, and coming out of that season now, he was faithful even when I was like not always faithful and not always believing in his promises and trusting in him to just really lead and direct my steps. But then just on a more like actual like practical level, I think I was just able to really reflect and see God's faithfulness and just financial provision. I was able to graduate without taking out any loans with my master's just by working full-time and part-time. And so that's just like something to praise God for, that I was able to do that and not have that worry at all. And then I think I've just seen God's faithfulness in his word. Like, his word has just rained true in so many ways. And I think a couple of the big truths that I've really seen is just him being like the bread of life for me. And even in kind of that little like excerpt of my journal, like, he has sustained me emotionally, physically, mentally throughout all of this. And his grace has truly been sufficient. Even on days where it's been like super hard, his grace has gotten me through it. And then I think just the truth that he is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. And when we put our hope in Jesus, it's a hope that is so much greater than this world can give. And that has just totally become true. And that was like one of the guiding reasons I made the choice to come on staff full time, is the peace that I felt in that decision, and trusting that that peace was really from my Lord and Savior. So I think that's like some of the big areas that I've really seen God's faithfulness this past year.
I would say my story is a little bit similar to Kendra's in that it's very much a testimony of God's faithfulness despite my unfaithfulness. That when I moved up here, I was just under a lot of stress. I had graduated and I had 5 weeks to pack up everything I owned and move up here, find a place to live. And it was just very overwhelming. And when I get stressed and overwhelmed, instead of running to God like I should, I just kind of push him. I'm like, I can't deal with this right now. I'm going to handle it and just buckle down. It'll be fine, which I would not recommend. But he was just so faithful. I came up here for 3 days, and on the last day, when I was looking for an apartment, he provided a place for me to live. And I had connected with a community group here when I was an intern over the summer, and coming back, they just welcomed me with open arms. That it's been very hard to be far away from my family and most of my close friends, but God has just provided so many just meaningful relationships up here, and my community group really has become my family up here, and having the support group of them and just the rest of Park has just been amazing. It's been very instrumental in my journey and just all the changes that I've experienced this last year.
Yeah, it's been cool just to see how the desires of our hearts to be married and how God has done that. And so I feel like the season of change has been more of a good one. It's not like as much of a hard thing that we've been going through, but it's just awesome to be able to praise God and know that he's provided for us and the things that we wanted. And it's just like so fun. We have so much fun together, and just seeing that God paired us very well together and giving thanks for him for that.
Yeah, very similar to Anna. Praising God for where we've come, you know, even 5 years ago. I thought being married might not be for me. Just like struggling, being stuck in sexual sin and addicted. I really didn't think that this would be something for me. But God brought me through that and put us into community and had affirmation and accountability. And just praising God through that, it's pretty incredible to see what God can do, even though you feel like you're so stuck But God, like Kendra said, God is very faithful, and he is indeed the bread of life.
So, follow-up question to that, Matt. What word of encouragement or multiple words of encouragement would you give to anyone here today experiencing challenge or change in their life?
Yeah, that it's a good question. And I feel kind of like, man, am I okay to give advice? To me, it is leaning in. So leaning into God, first and foremost. My journaling time, my quiet time has sustained me through these challenges, through marriage, through overcoming. My community, I have a group of guys that I stand shoulder to shoulder with that are amazing and that have given me so much life and affirmation, accountability, and then just leading into the broader community of a church and using my gifts to be a good gift to others, kind of taking the focus off myself and what I need and offering my plate to serve others.
Yeah, I totally agree. And also just trusting God and knowing that he has the best for us too.
I would echo that in a sense that the biggest thing for me was to stop fighting God and trying to push him away when I'm stressed or struggling with the change, but just to trust that he does have our best interest at heart and that what he has for us might look vastly different than what you planned, but what God plans is infinitely better. And another huge thing for me was finding community that during change or times of struggle or stress, that some of us tend to isolate ourselves, and that's one of the worst things for me that I could do was seeking community and finding accountability, people who would ask me, like, how are you doing? How are you really doing? Like, what are you struggling with? How can I pray for you? That was huge in getting through that change, was having that support and accountability.
And let me just jump in right there for a moment. And if any of you are sitting here today and you're newer to this church or you haven't opened up, I can assure you this is a safe community to find that.
I can definitely echo that. Vulnerability is something I definitely struggle with. And the fact that God has like worked in me enough that he allowed me just to be able to be open and vulnerable with my group just was such a freeing feeling and really helped with all the changes.
Yeah, I guess one of the first things I also made my list of encouragement, and that was just surround yourself with godly men and women who are going to speak truth and remind you of that truth, because whether it's really good change, we need to be reminded that that change comes from God and every good gift comes from above, and to praise him and exalt him for that. But in change, that's not always so easy and hard, and it is hard. Just surround yourself with people that are going to remind you of the truth of God's word, because his promises are really good and they're true. And then just kind of going through my own journal, I guess I just realized now, just repent and confess. Like, our Father is so good and he promises forgiveness when we put our hope in Jesus. And it's hard. Like, our human nature is to doubt and to want control and to trust in our own strength. And when we just repent of that and humble ourselves, like, he is so good and so faithful to give us exactly what we need. And then I think the last thing is just reflect on God's past faithfulness. I know that was really big for me getting through this, especially summer, was just seeing how he has just showed up in so many other seasons of my life and has brought me through similar times of just kind of unknown. And that just, I think it's super important just to see and remember God's faithfulness in all the other areas of our life.
I would just say trust and hope in God. He'll never disappoint you.
I agree with absolutely everything they've said. And they've taken every word I wanted to say. So just, yeah, whatever challenge, whatever difficulty, whatever it may be, community is a huge part of getting through that. You're not alone. You're not alone in the body of Christ. And again, as she mentioned, just reflect back on God's faithfulness. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He will always be with us.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this community, for Park Community Church, for the way that it has been a place for people to abide in you and to get to know one another, Lord. I pray that you would truly form into us our identity as sons and daughters, that we have been adopted by you, a good, holy, righteous God. You've adopted us into your family. You call us sons and daughters. You've placed us into a family now where we have brothers and sisters, people who have our back, people who care for us, people who stand beside us, people who encourage us, people who challenge us. And you've sent us out as neighbors and witnesses. Lord, I thank you for this group of people on the stage this morning who have witnessed to your faithfulness, to your goodness. I thank you for the Psalms and the precedent that it sets for us to share story. Lord, I pray that you would continue to form us as a community into the image and likeness of Christ. I pray that we wouldn't be a people, a church community who just merely shares cliches and throws Bible verses at one another or avoids the hard stuff, but I pray that you would form us into a community who truly trusts you, who truly leans into you, who is conformed to your image and likeness. Lord, you have painted a beautiful tapestry here in this church, and we thank you for that. God, you are a good father, and we praise you today. We pray that you would have all of our worship, all of our praise. I pray that you would remind each one of us that you indeed are faithful and true, as the Psalms here say, that great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. So, Lord, I pray that we would study your works, that we would listen to your stories, and that it would stir us to proclaim, great is the Lord, to praise you and to give you thanks. May you continue to have your way in us, Lord Jesus, for your glory, for our good, and for the advancement of your gospel, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to call Jerry and Kathy Wilson forward now, and they are going to lead us in a responsive reading of Psalm 136. This is another ancient practice in the people of Israel. They would read the psalm, and the congregation would respond with the refrain. And so if you have a Bible, open up to Psalm 136. It's on page 520 in the Pew Bible. And I'll ask that you stand and you read along with them as they direct us, and then we will, and I'll call the ushers forward for the offering as well, and then we will respond to the Lord by giving thanks with our tithes and offerings.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
To him who alone does great wonders.
To him who by understanding made the heavens.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters.
To him who made the great lights.
The sun to rule over the day.
The moon and the stars to rule over the night.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
And brought Israel out from among them.
With a strong hand and an outstretched arm.
To him who divided the Red Sea in two.
And made Israel pass through the midst of it.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
To him who led his people through the wilderness.
To him who struck down the great kings.
And killed mighty kings.
Sion, king of the Amorites.
And Og, king of Bashan.
And gave their land as a heritage.
A heritage to Israel, his servant.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
And rescued us from our foes.
He who gives food to all flesh.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
Let's pray, and then we'll take the offering. God, we thank you for, you may have a seat, we thank you for this psalm, for this reminder that your steadfast love endures forever. You have been faithful to your people throughout the generations, and you are faithful and good to us here and now. And these stories could go on and on as Israel recounts their history. Each one of us here in this room, we could recount our history with giving detailed specifics. And Lord, I pray that you would stir in us to respond with a heart that would say, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. For you, your steadfast love endures forever. And now I pray that as we give thanks to you, Lord, that you would supernaturally work in us to have a deep and abiding gratitude and thankfulness, regardless of circumstances. Lord, the people who sat up here this morning and gave testimony, and all the psalms and the people of the scriptures who give testimony, not all circumstances were good, easy, and light. But because of their trust, their deep abiding faith in you, they are able to say, your steadfast love endures forever, regardless of what is going on around us. And I pray that you would supernaturally work that out in us as your people, even here and now this morning. Lord, we're keenly aware that there's some among us this morning who are questioning whether or not your steadfast love endures forever. I pray that you would grant the supernatural gift for them to be able to say, in fact, it does. And there's some of us here this morning who all of this talk has become routine. It's mundane. We've forgotten the power and the strength of it. And I pray that you would refresh our hearts and our minds this morning, that we would be reminded anew that you, God, are good. And your steadfast love endures forever. And may we give thanks from the depths of hearts that trust in you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.